page 511. And the king thought there was under him, far from him, an hideous deep black water, and therein was all manner of serpents and worms and wild beasts, foul and horrible. And suddenly the king thought the wheel turned up so down, and he fell among the serpents, and every beast took him by a limb. And then the king cried as he lay in his bed and slept, "Help!" And then knights, squires, and yeomen awaked the king, and then he was so amazed that he wist not where he was, and then he fell on slumbering again, not sleeping nor thoroughly waking. So the king seemed verily that there came Sir Gawain unto him with a number of fair ladies with him, and when King Arthur saw him, then he said, "Welcome, my sister's son. I weened thou hadst been dead, and now I see thee alive. Much am I beholding unto Almighty Jesu. O fair nephew and my sister's son, what be these ladies that hither be come with you?" "Sir," said Sir Gawain, "all these be ladies for whom I have foughten when I was man living, and all these are those that I did battle for in righteous quarrel, and God hath given them that grace at their great prayer, because I did battle for them, that they should bring me hither unto you. Thus much hath God given me leave, for to warn you of your death. For, and ye fight as to morn with Sir Mordred, as ye both have assigned, doubt ye not ye must be slain, and the most part of your people on both parties. And for the great grace and goodness that Almighty Jesu hath unto you, and for pity of you, and many more other good men there shall be slain, God hath sent me to you of his special grace, to give you warning that in no wise ye do battle as to morn, but that ye take a treaty for a month day, and proffer you largely, so as to morn to be put in a delay. For within a month shall come Sir Lancelot with all his noble knights, and rescue you worshipfully, and slay Sir Mordred, and all that ever will hold with him." Then Sir Gawain and all the ladies vanished. In this sentence, vanished is footnote 1, return to text. Page 512. And anon the king called upon his knights, squires, and yeomen, and charged them whitely to fetch his noble lords and wise bishops unto him. And when they were come, the king told them his vision, what Sir Gawain had told him, and warned him that if he fought on the morn he should be slain. Then the king commanded Sir Lucan the butler, and his brother Sir Bedivere, with two bishops with them, and charged them in any wise, and they might take a treaty for a month day with Sir Mordred, and spare not, proffer him lands and goods as much as ye think best. So then they departed and came to Sir Mordred, where he had a grim host of 100,000 men. And there they entreated Sir Mordred long time, and at the last Sir Mordred was agreed for to have Cornwall and Kent by Arthur's days, after all England, after the days of King Arthur. Chapter 4. How by misadventure of an adder the battle began, where Mordred was slain and Arthur hurt to the death. Then were they condescended that King Arthur and Sir Mordred should meet betwixt both their hosts, and every each of them should bring 14 persons, and they came with this word unto Arthur. Then said he, "I am glad that this is done," and so he went into the field. And when Arthur should depart, he warned all his host that they see any sword drawn, "Look ye, come on fiercely, and slay that traitor Sir Mordred, for I in no wise trust him." And likewise Sir Mordred warned his host that, "And ye see any sword drawn, look that ye come on fiercely, and so slay all that ever before you standeth, for in no wise I will not trust for this treaty, for I know well my father will be avenged on me." Page 513. And so they met as their appointment was, and so they were agreed and accorded thoroughly, and wine was fetched, and they drank. Right soon came an adder out of a little heath bush, and it stung a knight on the foot. And when the knight felt him stungen, he looked down and saw the adder. And then he drew his sword to slay the adder, and thought of none other harm. And when the host on both parties saw that sword drawn, then they blew beams, trumpets, and horns, and shouted grimly. In this sentence, beams is footnoted. Beams means bugles. Return to text. And so both hosts dressed them together. And King Arthur took his horse and said, "Alas, this unhappy day," and so rode to his party, and Sir Mordred in likewise, and never was there seen a more dolefuller battle in no Christian land, for there was but rushing and riding, foining and striking, and many a grim word was there spoken either to other, and many a deadly stroke. But ever King Arthur rode throughout the battle of Sir Mordred many times, and did full nobly as a noble king should, and at all times he fainted never, and Sir Mordred that day put him in devour and in great peril. And thus they fought all the long day, and never stinted till the noble knights were laid to the cold earth, and ever they fought still till it was near night, and by that time was there 100,000 laid dead upon the down. Then was Arthur wood wroth out of measure, when he saw his people so slain from him. Then the king looked about him, and then was he ware of all his host and of all his good knights were left no more alive but two knights, that one was Sir Lucan the butler, and his brother Sir Bedivere, and they were full sore wounded. "Jesu mercy," said the king, "where are all my noble knights becomen?" "Alas, that ever I should see this doleful day, for now," said Arthur, "I am come to mine end. But would to God that I wist where were the that traitor Sir Mordred that hath caused all this mischief." Then was King Arthur where Sir Mordred leaned upon his sword among a great heap of dead men. Page 514. "Now give me my spear," said Arthur unto Sir Lucan, "for yonder I have espied the traitor that all this woe hath wrought." "Sir, let him be," said Sir Lucan, "for he is unhappy, and if ye pass this unhappy day, ye shall be right well revenged upon him. Good Lord, remember ye of your night's dream, and what the spirit of Sir Gawain told you this night. Yet God of his great goodness hath preserved you hitherto. Therefore, for God's sake, my lord, leave off by this. For blessed be God, ye have won the field, for here we be three alive, and with Sir Mordred is none alive. And if ye leave off now, this wicked day of destiny is past." "Tide me, death, betide me, life," saith the king. "Now I see him yonder alone, he shall never escape mine hands, for at a better avail shall I never have him." "God speed you well," said Sir Bedivere. Then the king got his spear in both his hands, and ran towards Sir Mordred, crying, "Traitor, now is thy death day come." And when Sir Mordred heard Sir Arthur, he ran until him with his sword drawn in his hand, and there King Arthur smote Sir Mordred under the shield with a foin of his spear throughout the body more than a fathom. And when Sir Mordred felt that he had his death's wound, he thrust himself with the might that he had up to the bur of King Arthur's spear. In this sentence, bur is footnoted. It means broad ring on a spear to protect the hand. Return to text. And right so he smote his father Arthur, with his sword holden in both his hands on the side of the head, that the sword pierced the helmet and the brain pan, and therewithal Sir Mordred fell stark dead to the earth, and the noble Arthur fell in a swoon to the earth, and there he swooned oft times. And Sir Lucan the butler and Sir Bedivere oft times heave him up, and so weakly they led him betwixt them both to a little chapel not far from the seaside. And when the king was there, he thought him well eased. Then heard they people cry in the field. Page 515. "Now go thou, Sir Lucan," said the king, "and do me to wit what betokens that noise in the field." So Sir Lucan departed, for he was grievously wounded in many places. And so as he yede, he saw and hearkened by the moonlight, how that pillars and robbers were coming unto the field to pill and to rob many a full noble knight of brooches and beads, of many a good ring and of many a rich jewel, and who that were not dead all out, there they slew them for their harness and their riches. When Sir Lucan understood this work, he came to the king as soon as he might, and told him all what he had heard and seen. "Therefore, by my rede," said Sir Lucan, "it is best that we bring you to some town." "I would it were so," said the king. Chapter 5. How King Arthur commanded to cast his sword Excalibur into the water, and how he was delivered to ladies in a barge. "But I may not stand, my head works so." "Ah, Sir Lancelot," said King Arthur, "this day have I sore missed thee. Alas, that ever I was against thee, for now I my death, whereof Sir Gawain me warned in my dream." Then Sir Lucan took up the king the one part, and Sir Bedivere the other part, and in the lifting the king swooned, and Sir Lucan fell in a swoon with the lift, that the part of his guts fell out of his body, and therewith the noble knight's heart braced. And when the king awoke, he beheld Sir Lucan, how he lay foaming at the mouth, and part of his guts lay at his feet. "Alas," said the king, "this is to me a full heavy sight, to see this noble duke so die for my sake, for he would have helped me that had more need of help than I. Alas, he would not complain him, his heart was so set to help me. Now, Jesu, have mercy upon his soul." Then Sir Bedivere wept for the death of his brother. Page 516. "Leave this mourning and weeping," said the king, "for all this will not avail me, for wit thou well, and I might live myself, the death of Sir Lucan would grieve me evermore, but my time hieth fast," said the king. "Therefore," said Arthur unto Sir Bedivere, "take thou Excalibur, my good sword, and go with it to yonder waterside, and when thou comest there, I charge thee, throw my sword in that water, and come again, and tell me what thou there seest." "My lord," said Bedivere, "your commandment shall be done, and lightly bring you word again." So Sir Bedivere departed, and by the way he beheld that noble sword, that the pommel and the haft was all of precious stones, and then he said to himself, "If I throw this rich sword in the water, thereof shall never come good, but harm and loss." And then Sir Bedivere hid Excalibur under a tree. And so, as soon as he might, he came again unto the king, and said he had been at the water, and had thrown the sword into the water. "What saw thou there?" said the king. "Sir," he said, "I saw but nothing but waves and wind." "That is untruly said of thee," said the king. "Therefore go thou lightly again, and do my commandment, as thou art to me leave and dear, spare not, but throw it in." Then Sir Bedivere returned again, and took the sword in his hand, and then him thought sin and shame to throw away that noble sword, and so eft he hid the sword, and returned again, and told to the king that he had been at the water and done his commandment. "What saw thou there?" said the king. "Sir," he said, "I saw nothing but the waters wap and the waves wan." In this sentence, wap and wan are footnoted. Wap means lap, and wan means grow dark. Return to text. "Ah, traitor, untrue," said King Arthur, "now hast thou betrayed me twice. Who would have weened that thou that hast been to me so leave and dear, and thou art named a noble knight, and would betray me for the riches of the sword? But now go again lightly, for thy long tarrying putteth me in great jeopardy of my life, for I have taken cold." Page 517. "And but if thou do now as I bid thee, if ever I may see thee, I shall slay thee mine own hands, for thou wouldst for my rich sword see me dead." Then Sir Bedivere departed, and went to the sword, and lightly took it up, and went to the waterside, and there he bound the girl.